Today, the life of Belly Majinga, the transport worker whose death from COVID-19 after an incident in Victoria Station sparked a national conversation about racial injustice.
Hello, just to show you how Victoria, one of the busiest stations in London, empty, there's no people, people are afraid. Stay home and stay safe than going outside and catch the virus. But we are here, we have to walk. That's why we are here.
What do we know about what happened to Belly Majinga on March the 21st?
Belly Majinga was a ticket office clerk at Victoria Station. She was at work on the 21st of March. It was a Saturday. It was late in the morning. Hardly anyone was around that day. We know that she was sent out onto the concourse in Victoria Station to direct passenger flow. We know that at some point during that morning, a 57-year-old man approached her. We now enter into the realms of what Belly told her husband, Lusamba, and her cousin, Agnes. Belly told them that this 57-year-old man who approached her said, "What are you doing here?" And Belly told him, "I'm working, I'm wearing a uniform." The man then allegedly yelled at Belly, "You can't be here. I've got COVID. I'll give it to you." Now, this is the most difficult part of the whole Belly story. According to Lusamba and Agnes, this man spat at her intentionally. According to another colleague of Belly's, whose story I heard through her union representative, the man was shouting at them so forcefully that some spit flew out of his mouth and landed on Belly and her colleague who was standing beside her.
And what has happened since that day?
So much has happened since that day. Firstly, and most importantly, Belly is dead. She died in Barnet Hospital on the 5th of April. But Belly has become much more than just another victim of the COVID-19 pandemic. Belly has become a symbol of how key workers are often treated poorly in our society. Also, Belly has become, to so many people, a figurehead of the deep-seated racial injustices that we still have in this country to this day.
Use everything you can use to avoid contact with people. Try to be safe yourself. I love you, and be safe.
For weeks, Shirin Kale has been investigating the death of Belly Majinga, the transport worker who developed COVID after being allegedly spat on during her shift at London's Victoria Station. What the Guardian writer found was injustice, but injustice that went far beyond the incident itself. From the Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, what really happened to Belly Majinga? Tell me about Belly. Who was she?
Belly was a 47-year-old mother of one. She had a daughter called Ingrid and a husband called Lusamba. She was born in Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Belly actually initially trained as a journalist, and she was one of the first female sports reporters in the country.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was successful. She was on TV, on the radio. But in 2001, as the security situation in the DRC got more unstable, Belly, like many other people, decided to move to the UK and look for work. She initially worked at a post office in Edgware before later moving to work at Victoria Station, where she was employed by Govia Thames Link.
How did she meet her husband?
She met her husband at church. One of the things that I loved about talking to Lusamba, Belly's husband, was he talked to me about how Belly rejected him over and over again for nearly 5 years. So she was clearly a woman who needed some persuading.
So on the day that I decided I wanted to stop seeing her, that's the day that she said yes.
But by all accounts, it was a very happy marriage. They had a daughter, Ingrid. She was now 11 years old. And Belly, Lusamba and Ingrid lived in North London together. In February this year, Belly, Lusamba and Ingrid all went to Bath together for a family holiday. And Lusamba said, oh, can we afford this? Should we go? And Belly was actually very insistent that they should go to Bath.
We must go.
They had a wonderful time. They went to the cinema. They visited friends. And he now, looking back at that trip, feels in a way it was significant that it was their last family holiday together. And he wonders whether on some level Belly knew that she might die.
I just felt that it was as if she felt that those were her last days and she wanted us to spend them together.
Yeah.
That's the way that I interpret things. I'm not saying necessarily that's absolutely it, but that's the way that I see things.
And she seemed happy.
Elle paraissait heureuse.
Oui.
Yes.
Oui. Yeah. Were you able to find out about her relationship with her daughter Ingrid?
Belly was strict. There's no two ways about it. She was also a traditionalist. Lusamba told me that Belly was always very keen that Ingrid learn how to cook Condoleezza food, that she was tidy, she did her homework. I mean, I think as the daughter of immigrant parents myself, I can certainly relate to that aspect of this story. You know, schoolwork is the most important thing. And Belly really focused a lot of her love and attention on Ingrid.
Is she like her mother?
Elle est comme sa maman?
C'était sa copine.
If she was her friend.
Copine.
They were really friends. Her mate.
What did they do together?
Qu'est-ce qu'elle faisait ensemble?
Beaucoup de choses que moi je connais pas.
Lots of things that I wasn't even aware of. Lots of things.
She had wanted to have more children, but unfortunately that wasn't possible. And so Ingrid kind of became the focus of all of her mother's love.
You also spoke to her closest friend and cousin, Agnes. What does she tell you?
So Agnes actually referred to Belly as Sissy. And when the news story about Belly first broke, people actually misreported Agnes as being her sister because that's the way that Agnes referred to her, with such deep affection and love. Agnes doesn't have any sisters, and Agnes told me that Belly was like the sister she never had. They actually met by chance in Edgware at the post office that Belly used to work at. Agnes was posting a parcel and Belly said, oh, you're from the DRC. Who do you know there? And they got talking and they realised that they shared a cousin, and that meant that they were cousins as well. And after that day, they sort of became inseparable.
Wow, imagine bumping into your long lost cousin in a post office in London. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, they were really pleased about that. They were so thrilled to have met each other. Belly was really there for Agnes. Agnes didn't know so many people in the UK. She had moved over a bit after Belly, and Agnes really describes her as somebody who was deeply affectionate, deeply caring, very compassionate.
You painted a really vivid picture of her home life. She began working at the post office, but clearly later she began to work for Govia Thameslink. Tell me what her work life was like.
So she started working for Govia Thameslink in 2011. She was primarily based at Victoria Station. Agnes and Lusamba both told me that Belly had a tendency to befriend the waifs and strays of Victoria Station. If she found someone whose phone had been stolen or their wallet was gone, she would bring them home and sort them out. And
bring them home?
Yeah, she would bring them back to her house. So Lusamba told me about one instance where she found a French family in the station. They'd got chatting. It turned out that the French family didn't realise that on Christmas Day, everything in London is closed. And so Belly said, come for Christmas lunch at my house with my family. And so they did. And they had a wonderful Christmas dinner with a family that Belly had met in the station, and then Belly paid for their taxi back to their hotel, and everyone had a great time.
Moi, je savais rien.
I didn't know anything about it. There's a family that turns up.
On a passé une très, très, très
we spent
bonne journée
a really good period together
avec eux.
With them.
Ils étaient contents.
They were happy.
C'était sa nature.
It was just her nature.
Yeah.
Just so generous, so giving. I think Belly's faith was a big part of this as well. She was a religious person, and I think she felt like that was the Christian thing to do.
I mean, she sounds amazing. Did she enjoy the work?
I don't know if she enjoyed the work. I think what was important to Belly was working hard and supporting her family back home. She had an elderly mother back in Congo that Belly regularly sent money to. From her colleague who I spoke to, he told me that transport workers get a lot of abuse and Belly was no exception. And during the conductor strike of 2016, they would often get shouted at by irate commuters who were angry their trains had been cancelled. He also told me that Belly was very popular in Victoria Station. Everyone kind of knew her and everyone liked her. No one really had a bad word to say about Belly. Belly had been working for Govia Thames Link from 2011, but the last year of her life, so 2019, is when things started to get difficult for Belly. She was not having a great time at work. Lusamba told me that Belly was suspended from work in September 2019 or thereabouts. And in her account of the story that she told to Lusamba, she felt like she was being bullied at work. Belly worked in the ticket office, and at the end of every shift, Belly was expected to lock away the money that she received from passengers. On one occasion in 2019, she forgot to lock that money away. Belly told Lusamba that this was a very common mistake that people made in the ticket office. They forgot to lock their money away, and normally the person who was clocking onto the shift after them would just lock it away. But Belly, for whatever reason, was sanctioned for this. She was sent home. There was an investigation. She was suspended. And Lusamba really characterises this period of her life as very, very low. He said that she was very emotional. She was extremely upset. He had never seen her so upset.
From September to December, that was the worst part of her life. Really bad.
Belly, after she was allowed back at work, after her suspension, saw someone making the exact same mistake that she had made. It was a pretty common mistake and they weren't sanctioned. This incident, I think, did really hang over her.
Okay, so she returned to work feeling more negative about the situation. It was 2020 and pretty quickly COVID hit. It was a terrifying time for everyone, but particularly for frontline workers, people like Belly. How does she feel about that?
So I think we need to try and remember what it was like for frontline workers during those first few weeks of the pandemic. It was scary. 16th of March is when Boris Johnson told the public to avoid all unnecessary travel.
Now is the time for everyone to stop non-essential contact with others and to stop all unnecessary travel.
And Belly went out and was working on the concourse on the 17th of March, and she sent Lusamba a video of herself out there. And it's pretty eerie. I mean, there's really no one there. And Belly's swinging the camera around. She's pointing it at herself. And I don't know how she felt, but I can imagine it must have been a pretty unsettling experience to suddenly watch the station that you've worked in for such a long time just empty out of people.
And the ticket office as well. No one's there. You buy a ticket. Very afraid. People are afraid. People are home because of the coronavirus. Stay home.
We also know that Belly had an underlying respiratory condition. She had had throat surgery in 2016 and had to go for regular checkups at her hospital. Lusamba told me that Belly had seen videos on social media of people being put onto ventilators, and she found that very alarming. So I imagine it was probably with a mixture of trepidation and a bit of concern for her own well-being that she was at work during those weeks in March.
And obviously this incident happened on the concourse, but you mentioned that she was a ticket office clerk. Why was she out there?
I can't answer that. It's disputed. Belly's employers, Govia, have said that it was routine for ticket office clerks to go out onto the concourse and direct passenger flow and help people with inquiries. But Belly's union has insisted to me that that was not in her job description and that was not in her contracted role, and that all of her responsibilities should have been within the ticket office, which would have afforded probably a bit more safety in terms of the fact that Belly would not have been directly interacting with the general public quite as much as she would have been out on the concourse.
How did she react to the incident?
So, according to the colleague who was with Belly, who I have not spoken to directly, but I've heard her account through her union representative, Belly ran back into the ticket office and told her manager about the incident. Belly was terrified and begged not to be sent back out onto the concourse to finish her shift. But that request was denied and Belly had to go back out onto the concourse and finish her shift, and British Transport Police was not notified of the incident.
So they didn't believe her?
Well, I think a lot of people have subsequently looked at this story and thought, would her words have been taken more seriously were she not a black woman?
What happened after the incident?
So the incident happens on the 21st of March, and the following day was Agnes's birthday. Agnes came home from a shopping trip and found Belly was in her house. Belly had bought her a cake. She'd made food for her. She wrote her a card. But Agnes said that Belly seemed strange and kind of distant. She said that she didn't really talk that much. She wasn't her usual self. And she also said that Belly mentioned something that had happened at work. She said that a mad person spat at her. That's how Agnes told me the story. Agnes didn't think too much of it. We all knew about COVID then and we were all very alarmed about it, but it hadn't reached that sort of critical saturation point in our consciousness at the time. So Agnes sort of brushed it off, and they had their birthday, and Belly gave Agnes a card that Agnes still has to this day, and it says, "You're the little sister that I found in London. I'll always be there for you." We also know that at some point around about this day, around about the 22nd of March, maybe the 23rd of March, Belly spoke to her doctor, and her doctor said, "You should not really be in a frontline job. You're at high risk from COVID. You have a respiratory condition." Belly's employers were then contacted by her doctor or her doctor's surgery and told to send her home to Shield. Unfortunately, by this point, it was possibly too late. Belly fell ill a few days after that. She was at home with Lusamba. He wasn't too concerned about her at first, but after a few days, it became apparent that she was really struggling to breathe. The way he described it to me was that when she breathed in, he wasn't sure if she was going to breathe back out again.
Because to see how she was sleeping, I was also worried. I was anxious.
So on the 2nd of April, Belly herself actually called the ambulance and walked into the ambulance and was taken to Barnet Hospital.
I was there with Ingrid and she just went like that. That's the last image I have of her waving goodbye.
How did Lusamba find out that she had died?
The 5th of April, he gets a call from the hospital.
The doctor called me again and told me things were not going well.
He can't really understand exactly what the doctor is saying.
I don't know exactly what happened.
His English is not great.
I called her cousin.
So he calls Agnes and he says, "Agnes, please can you call the hospital and find out what's going on?"
Cousin called. And got the news.
They couldn't see her, obviously, because of COVID.
Yes, so this has been something that's really come up in a lot of my reporting, that it's so hard for the families to accept their loved ones have died because they can't see them. So Lusamba really pleaded with the hospital to be allowed to see Belly's body.
I asked if I could come and see her, and they refused. And I said, "I want to see her body." They refused. So then I would have been able to cry properly, and they would not let me. Categorical refusal.
Her funeral was on the 29th of April, and he did not see her at any point after her stepping into the ambulance and leaving the family home.
Tell me about the funeral.
So, in a way, this whole story really starts at the funeral. Two of Belly's colleagues come to the funeral and lay some flowers on the grave. And Lusamba doesn't think too much of that. And then afterwards, he gets a phone call. It's one of the colleagues who has contacted him through a mutual friend. The colleague basically told Lusamba, "You should really look into what's going on here. There's been an injustice. And if you dig into this a bit more, you'll see that for yourself."
Coming up, the pursuit for the truth begins. Shirin, the next thing that happens is that Lusamba starts to piece together what happened to his wife. from that terrible incident on the concourse of Victoria Station to her death in Barnet Hospital. What does he do with that information?
Lusamba went to the press. 12th of May is when the story broke. It was front page news in The Guardian the following day. It was on Good Morning Britain with Piers Morgan, who was extremely exercised about it.
It's not right. It's an absolute disgrace. It's one of the most sickening stories that I can remember throughout this entire crisis.
On the 12th of May, the same day the story broke, British Transport Police announced that they would be investigating the incident. And really within a day of Lusamba doing an interview with the Press Association, Belly's face and name were in news outlets across the country. It became a national news story.
Une Congolaise meurt du coronavirus à Londres après qu'on lui a délibérément craché dessus.
Yesterday, Mr. Speaker, this house learned of the tragic death of Belly Mujinga.
The family of Belly Mujinga, the London transport worker who tragically died of COVID-19 after being spat on, are hoping lessons can be learned from her death.
So, Shirin, finally, an investigation had been launched. What happened?
So the investigation is launched on the 12th of May. British Transport Police are investigating. And then around 2 weeks later, George Floyd is killed in the USA on May 25th.
Breaking now at 11, One Nation united in anger, demanding justice and forcing change following the arrest of an officer in the death of an unarmed black man whose last words are now the country's rally cry.
I can't breathe!
And then just days later, on the 29th of May, British Transport Police announced that there will be no further action in Belly's case. And the reaction to that from the public was just immediate and visceral. I mean, people really felt that this was a grievous injustice against a black woman here in the UK. No charges were going to be brought. People felt like this 57-year-old man was getting away with murder.
Justice for Belly!
I don't like using the word racism. The day on which the police told me they were stopping the inquiry, inside myself, I felt it was racist. That's the way that I interpreted it.
What was it about her death that provoked such a strong reaction, do you think?
It's a couple of different things. I think, firstly, during the pandemic, we all became so much more appreciative of key workers. And the thought of this key worker allegedly being spat at by someone whilst trying to do her job, I mean, that just really grated on people. But I think during the pandemic as well, there was also this moment of stillness and reflection that followed the killing of George Floyd. And we all really started to think quite deeply about racism in this country. We've all heard and seen so many stories of black people, black women being disrespected on the news, in TV. It's a familiar story. And so I think the reason it touched such a nerve was that Belly's story was a story of a black woman being disrespected and allegedly being spat at by someone whilst doing her job. We all just felt like on a fundamental level, that was just an appalling thing to happen.
It was kind of like a lightning rod, wasn't it, for all the injustices that people were thinking of at the time. And I think, as you've said, it was very simple in a way, wasn't it? Here was this woman who was spat at this appalling time and then who went on to die. What was Lusamba doing during all of this? What did he think of the reaction?
Lusamba said to me that he really felt like the public outrage was a form of reparations. What was incredibly distressing to him and to everyone who loved Belly was the sense that people didn't really care that much about what happened to her. You know, she had to go back out onto the concourse. She had to finish her shift. No one called the police. And so to see this groundswell of public rage and grief for Belly made Lusamba feel like, okay, people do care about my wife and they do care about what happened to her. And so he went to the Black Lives Matter protests and he took Ingrid along with him. And he felt like it was very important for Ingrid to see that what happened to her mother was important and people did care.
On that day, I said that I no longer want to think about this word racism because there were black people and white people together. And they were singing.
parler le nom de Belly.
Using Belly's name.
C'est une des jours.
It's one of the days.
Je n'oublierai pas.
That I'll never forget till my death.
Was it a good day?
C'était une bonne journée.
Très très bonne journée.
It was a very good day.
Et j'ai vu que Belly.
And I could see that Belly.
Ce jour-là.
On that day. It was good.
How is Ingrid doing?
Lusamba told me that Ingrid is doing okay. She's quiet.
Elle ne parle pas.
She doesn't talk.
Elle ne parle pas, mais...
She just doesn't talk.
Moi, je lis ses pensées au moins.
I'm just kind of imagining what her thoughts are.
He says that he feels like when the other girls and children that she plays with talk about their mothers, she gets upset and sort of goes within herself. I think he's at a bit of a loss, to be honest with you. How do you deal with an 11-year-old girl that's lost their mother? You know, it's just an appalling situation. And I think the entire nation's heart is with Ingrid, really, right now.
I mean, the story is infuriating. Why didn't the police charge this man?
I mean, I can tell you what I've been told by the police, which is that he was able to produce a negative antibody test and there wasn't enough evidence to show that he did spit at Belly. I think another thing that I should really emphasise is that the account of the spitting incident has also been disputed. So the way that Belly told the story to Agnes and Lusamba was that this person intentionally spat at them. But I've also heard from other sources that although spit flew out of his mouth, it wasn't necessary that he chose to spit at them. And I suppose that might be one of the reasons, if I was to guess, that there have not been charges brought against him. British Transport Police closed their case and the Crown Prosecution Service has also looked into British Transport Police's handling of the case. And they have also concluded that they were right to not bring charges against this individual and case closed, basically.
Yeah, the CPS findings chime with those of the police. They said a combination of CCTV and witness evidence meant it was insufficiently clear to substantiate allegations of deliberate coughing or spitting, and also pointed to the antibody test. But it's very clear why Belly's case was like a lightning rod. And in particular, the incident itself, because it was such a neat narrative, given what people were thinking of at the time. But from everything you've told me, it seems to me that Belly faced so many injustices in her life that went far beyond that incident.
Yes. So when I came to Belly's story, I saw it in a very simplistic way. I thought this person spat at her. They weren't prosecuted. This seemed like a very obvious and quite simple example of injustice. And actually, what I've come to realise is that we'll never know whether or not that person spat at her and if it was done intentionally or not. We just simply don't know that. But what we do know is that a number of things seem to have gone wrong in her story. Why was Belly out there that day? Why wasn't she listened to when she said that she had been assaulted? Why was she made to go back out to work? Why hadn't her doctor spoken to her employer previously and told them that she had a respiratory condition? Why wasn't she on the shielding register? Belly shouldn't have been working in a key worker role during a pandemic. She had an underlying respiratory condition, which made her extremely vulnerable to the virus. There are so many different and bigger questions to be asked about the Belly story, and they go much deeper than what may or may not have happened on the concourse that morning. And I think they really go to something that's very familiar, which is this question of how we treat people in our society and how we treat Black people in our society and how we treat low-paid workers in our society. And I think that's the thing that I've really taken away from this story and my reporting on it. It's that it's much bigger and it's much deeper than something that may or may not have happened that morning.
How is Lusamba now?
Lusamba he's doing okay. He's focusing on his daughter. He is still tremendously moved by the public outpouring of support for Belly. And when I spoke to Lusamba, we met on this really glorious sunny day in the middle of the heat wave a few weeks back. And we spoke for nearly 2 hours. And at the end, I asked him why he'd agreed to do the interview. I was intrigued by that because talking about this, it's not the easiest thing. And he said to me, she was my wife. I could talk about her forever. And I think that Lusamba will continue to talk about Belly forever.
I will always. I'll talk about Belly till the end of my life. She's my wife.
C'est la maman de ma fille.
She's the mother of my daughter.
À tout moment, je vois Ingrid.
And at any moment when I look at Ingrid,
c'est la pensée de Belly qui
I think about Belly.
Belly, une autre personne.
She's somebody special.
He will keep talking about her and keep telling her story to anyone who will listen until he gets justice for her.
Shirin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Shirin Kali. Do go to theguardian.com to read her brilliant piece about this. It's called I Feel She Was Abandoned, The Life and Terrible Death of Belly Majinga. It's part of an excellent series, well worth your time, called Lost to the Virus, a deep dive into the stories of people who've died from COVID-19 and the systemic failures that may have contributed. Shirin went to Govia Thameslink about her reporting, and they said that Belly was a dedicated and much-loved colleague. They said they were heartbroken by her passing, that she'd worked there for 9 years and was very friendly and well-liked. They added that while the British Transport Police Investigation and Crown Prosecution Service's independent review had concluded that Belly's tragic death was not caused by this alleged incident, it did not detract from the tragic loss of our colleague from coronavirus. It has shaken us all and is a painful reminder of how deadly this virus is. They said railway workers continued to do an incredible job at an unprecedented time and that they'd always followed government advice in respect to the use of protective equipment. They added, "We are supporting Belly's husband, daughter and family during this difficult period." They did not comment on allegations of bullying. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Courtney Youssef. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.